KPFT. KPFT exists because of people just like you. Please call now, 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT. Thank you for your support of independent, community-based Pacifica Radio, KPFT Houston.
Radio on KPFT 90.1 FM in Houston. I'm Maya Koenig. On control is Egberto Willis. He does his show Thursdays from 3 to 4 p.m. Politics Done Right. Here, we do politics. We do it right. We do it medium. Sometimes we don't do politics at all. So, today is a great day. You know, in the old British Navy, there was a tradition before entering battle that you would say, for what we are about to receive, may we be truly grateful. May we be truly grateful that finally we will stop hearing about Iowa. So, let's see. The last count I had, and my computer, now I'm going to have to turn it back this way because I just got logged off the system for some reason. Last I heard, Cruz was at 28%. This is with about 60% of the vote in. Cruz is about 28%. Trump is about 25%. Rubio is 22%. Carson is 10%. Paul is 4%. So Rubio making a decent showing. It's kind of a three-way race, 22%, 25%, 28%. Egberto, Iowa's not winner-take-all, I don't think. Is it Iowa is apportioned?
I actually think disproportional.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. So winning is like more of a moral victory. It may not make that big a difference in terms of the number of delegates. And, of course, the number of Iowa delegates themselves in the vast scheme of things don't make a lot of difference. But it's the principle. It's the first test of numbers of actual human voters who actually take the time to go, in this case, to their caucuses. So, let's see. And Clinton currently is at 51%. That number hasn't changed in a while. It's 69.2% of the caucusers reporting. And it's 451 votes. Oh, let's see. What is that SDE? What is that? Is that, that's not votes. That's districts?
No, that is what they call vote equivalents. I mean, delegate equivalents.
Okay.
Yeah.
So right now, Clinton has 451. Sanders has 432. I guess that in the Republican side, they're actually doing votes. So you've got approximately 31,000 for Cruz, 27,500 for Trump, 24,000 for Rubio, 10,500 for Carson, 4,900 for Paul. That's the last number I have. So, after this, it's on to New Hampshire, where we have people who actually get to go to the polls, vote early, and that will be interesting. You know, one of the things that I think it's important to bring to people's attention, the Texas primary is sneaking up on us very, very quickly. The actual election day for the Texas primaries is March 1st. But early voting starts February 22nd. So in 21 days, I'm sorry, take it back. February 16th is early voting. So in 15 days, we'll be voting for who's going to be the Republican or Democratic candidate for president, as well as a lot of down ballot races. I mean, dozens and dozens of down ballot races. Now, I believe that the rule is that you have to be registered 30 days before the election. Is that correct, Egberto?
I am not sure, but the registration for primary was February 1st.
The deadline.
The deadline, yeah.
Okay. So if you haven't registered for the primary, you're out of luck, but do register for A, any possible runoffs, and B, the general election. And you can register if you're in Harris County. You can go to harrisvotes.com. Harris Votes is one word, harrisvotes.com. A lot of information there in terms of the overall ballot, the ballot specific to your precinct, what to do if you're absentee, if you're military, if you're overseas. It's a good site to go to. Most counties have some kind of an equivalent, but if worst comes to worst, you can go to the Texas Secretary of State's website for voting. I don't know that one offhand, but it's something like sos.tex.gov, but you can look it up. Just search it, Texas Secretary of State vote. Last week, I misinformed you. Well, you know, you got to own up. I misinformed you about the Texas primary. Back in some time warp in which I live, the Texas primary was, in fact, a beauty contest, that it was only the caucus that mattered. Apparently, that has changed, and there is a new system that apparently even the local party, because I spoke to a Harris County party official, and there's still a little vagueness about exactly how the system is going to work, which, of course, is controlled by the state party. So there's going to be a get-together in a couple of weeks, and there will then be sort of some instruction and seminaring about exactly how this system is going to work. But I think that it's something like 75%, and this is not gospel now, okay, but it is in fact going to be like 75% of the vote is going to determine delegates, and then 25%, I think, is going to be caucusing, but this is still kind of up in the air. I'm not sure yet, and I think that even a lot of officials yet are not entirely sure how this is going to work. But the senatorial convention, I think what they're going to do is, after the elections on Election Day, March 1st, then there will be caucuses for people to represent their precincts at the senatorial conventions, the conventions for each Texas senatorial district. And then there, they will select delegates who will go to the national convention. So it's quite a process. I should mention that I'm going to be asking you for a little money. Now, I have a personal goal, okay? My personal goal. I am looking for five good people, just five good people, to pledge $5 a month to KPFT. And that will take care of my goal, actually, for the next week or two. Just five people who are willing to pledge $5 a month on their debit card or their credit card or coupon book where they can send in a check, $5 a month for a year, and that would be great. It would not only fulfill the goal for my show, for Think Wing Radio on KPFT, but it would also be a fairly painless way to do a good deed that is also, by the way, if you're itemizing, tax deductible. KPFT is essentially 100% listener supported. It is operated largely by volunteers. I'm a volunteer. Egberto is a volunteer. Very few paid staff, and the paid staff we have, you can count on the fact that they are underpaid. It's as if it was run by Republicans on the payroll. But it does cost money. It costs about $150 an hour to keep KPFT on the air, and we are a free speech radio station. The fact that I am, I think, more or less unquestionably the most conservative liberal at the station is proof that KPFT believes that there's room for all points of view. And then on my show, Think Wing Radio, the fact that I not only am happy to talk to conservatives or even liberals that disagree with me, I encourage conservatives or people who disagree with me to call. You know, we can have a discussion, we can agree to disagree. As long as we both have our turns to talk, it all goes out on the air and people get to think about it and make their own choices. And really, isn't that what it's about? We have touched on issues like the right to choose, abortion, so-called right to life, what it means to be a conservative, what it means to be a liberal, what it means to be a black person in America, the Black Lives Matter movement. We actually talk about a lot of sort of scary topics that can get you sort of in trouble. But here we are, and it's been a great experience, and I love it, and I love talking to you guys. Unfortunately, the way we're set up right now is Pledge Central is where the calls go. So the phone number is 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT. You can make a one-time contribution, $5, $10, $40 will get you a membership where you can actually come to meetings and vote on things. And, of course, anything above that, we appreciate, $100, $200. We have thank you gifts. The folks in Pledge Central can work with you if you want a thank you gift, or you can just let all the money stay at KPFT. But my goal is to try to find, among you folks out there, five people who are willing to pledge $5 a month to support KPFT. So these days, we're talking 2.5-3 gallons of gas. We're talking maybe a Frappuccino a month for KPFT. But enough of that for a while. I don't want to bore you. So, and I've never gotten this pronunciation right. Can you pronounce the name of the National Wildlife Refuge that the gun crazies occupied? Is it Malheur? Malauer? Does anybody know? I keep hearing about the wildlife refuge. I think even the reporters are afraid to try to pronounce it. I'm not sure. So that sort of resolved, which now raises the question, was the government's handling of the occupation indecisive and slow to react? Or was it, in fact, tactically brilliant and minimized violence, bloodshed, and death by letting, well, okay, now Egberto's shaking his head. Let me offer an example. You might disagree with what we did, but when Bush gave an ultimatum to Saddam Hussein, and it was like at midnight such and such, that's the deadline if you don't withdraw from Kuwait. And what they did was they waited. It's not like they just invaded the minute of the deadline, because people cannot be on guard 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As much as they try, even with the best commanding officers, the best non-coms, you just cannot keep a state of 100% alertness all the time. So, you know, I think a lot of Americans felt that if this had been a group of armed black men, that they would have gone in with guns blazing. That may be true. I think a lot of us suspect it's true. On the other hand, they did manage to get the leadership and most of the occupiers in this brilliant ambush on the road where only one person was killed. And that person, I think, clearly was a suicide by cop, because they told him three times to raise his hands. He keeps reaching around. They knew he was armed. They found a gun on him. I think that his mission at that point was suicide by cop. And the additional benefit of suicide by cop is that he would be a martyr to his movement. Now, I'm going to give you something that's total wild speculation, okay? I don't have a grain of evidence to say this. But it would not shock me if, when they do an autopsy, they find he had some kind of a serious illness that perhaps was terminal. I have no idea, but it will be interesting to see if something like that is the case, because, you know, people who are terminally ill sometimes do make grand gestures like that. They feel they have nothing to lose. They want to go out doing something that matters to them. We'll see. I've heard some interesting discussion about the Malheur. I don't know, man. I wish somebody would tell me how to pronounce that. Egberto, could you do me a favor? Could you look up that name and see if there is a pronunciation for it? I know you can. Come on, man. Give me a break. You see, I'm the host. I'm not the commander in chief here.
I don't think people are concerned about whether your pronunciation is perfect. So if you want your pronunciation perfect, who knows what it really is?
People just want to know. There have to be people like me who are just obsessive compulsive about this stuff. Who there's a word in front of them, and they just have to know how to pronounce it. I mean, I know that we actually had this discussion about language a week ago, that
right.
There are things that you see that you know the word, you know what it means, you know the context in which it should be used, but you have no idea how to pronounce it. And this is a word that looks like maybe it comes out of French, but, you know, in the French, of course, we know they don't know how to spell. I have no idea how their language is pronounced. Actually, I understand. Do you know the reason why? No, this is true now. You see, he's laughing at me. He figures I'm embarrassing myself. But I do that every week. Here's the thing about the French language. The reason that pronunciation is so out of whack with spelling is that French was one of the first languages to establish standardized spelling for words based on how they were pronounced at the time. Because the spelling is fixed in time, language evolves. So, for example, in English, we have words like ask, which now a lot of people are pronouncing like axe. And you can look at that word and figure, how do they get that pronunciation from that spelling? But there it is. In 100 years, maybe that'll be the standard pronunciation. Who knows? And then we'll just say, well, because the spelling was standardized and, you know, usage by people changed. But that is the reason that that pronunciation of French is so far out from the spelling. When you look at languages that are more recently standardized, like Spanish, one of the great things about Spanish is if you are speaking it without an accent, without a dialect, if you're learning it as a second language, it is pronounced precisely how it is spelled.
Exactly. That's what I think I try to put out there. That's my language. So,
yeah. Now you're Panamanian.
Yes.
Do you speak? I'm assuming there is a Panamanian accent or dialect, certain pronunciations
that are unique to the Panama area. Yes, but I mean, you can listen to somebody speak Spanish from any of the Latin American countries and understand them. They have different accents, like Chile would have a different accent than somebody in the Panamanian Caribbean side, so forth. But as far as what you write, they have laws of the language, and the laws of the language always apply. That's why Spanish is really very easy. English is extremely hard.
English is extremely hard, but you know what I have found, and I've done a little tutoring in reading, and once you understand that certain weird spellings that aren't pronounced like you would think, once you understand the etymological roots, like this looks like a Greek spelling, this looks like a French spelling, or a Latin spelling, or a Saxon spelling. And once you begin to sort those out, it doesn't necessarily make it easy, but it becomes a little more intuitive.
Yeah, but most people don't go through that intellectual process. I mean, if you take a look at something like live and live, spell the same way. Live, live.
Yes.
If you look at 8-8, A-T-E, E-I-G-H-T.
Ah, but that's where it starts to get interesting.
But before. And then you also look at height, H-E-I-G-H-T.
Well, first of all, that G-H-T in Old English, that used to be more like a guttural sound. So N-I-G-H-T in Old English was more like, instead of night, it was nicht. It was like a German. And the word knight, like a knight in armor, even though today it's a homonym, knicht was the original pronunciation. So they were actually different words. And if you look at, like, if you go to Britain, if you look at the word draft beer, it's D-R-A-U-G-H-T. In America, in the 19th century, a lot of those spellings got changed around. Here, it's phonetic. It's D-R-A-F-T. Jail. I love jail. In British English, G-A-O-L. Jail. Curb. In British English, K-U-R-B. I mean, this stuff is fascinating. How things evolved in language. I'm not an expert in this stuff, but what I know about it, it's just fascinating stuff. I'll tell you two stories about language that I thought were really interesting. And then we're going to ask for money. 713-526-5738. Please give us money. I need five people who are willing to part with $5 a month. That's all I'm asking. Five people, $5 a month. It's kind of like the Herman Cain thing, 555. That's all I'm asking, 555. Five people, $5 a month for 12 months, a Frappuccino. That's all I'm asking you once a month. 713-526-5738. Two stories I heard about language that I thought were really, really interesting. When I was working at Sears, I had a couple that I was working with. They were fluent in English, but they were talking between themselves in Spanish, making their decisions and evaluations on the product. And what was weird to me is I know enough Spanish to know that they were talking in Spanish, but their accents sounded like they were speaking Italian. And when I asked them about that, they said, well, they were from Argentina. And apparently, early in the 20th century, rather, there was a large influx of Italian immigrants. So while the language is Spanish, the accent became very influenced by Italian. That's actually true of a lot of the northeastern states. When you talk about a Brooklyn accent or a Boston accent, those accents are actually very distantly related to British English. They are more influenced by Southern and Eastern European languages that then sort of mixed in with the English. Whereas people from the South, etymologically speaking, Southern accents, Southern pronunciations are actually etymologically closer to British English, which I find remarkable. I have a friend who is from South Texas, bilingual. He went to visit Spain, and he went to visit Italy, and he told me that he could actually speak to someone in Spanish, and they could answer him in Italian, and they could actually kind of understand.
That is so true. I can actually talk to somebody in I can speak Spanish to somebody in Italian, and they respond in Spanish, and they respond in Italian. I understand. The same applies to Portuguese. I've taken plane trips back home where there's a Portuguese person, and they speak to me in Portuguese, I speak to them in Spanish.
Now, what's interesting about that, my friend said that while the Spanish-Italian thing worked for him, that he can't understand Portuguese at all. Now, maybe that's because of the accent he was born
with,
the pronunciation.
Because there are several words you're not going to understand because it's completely left field the way it sounds. But basically, if you get a sentence, you can get the gist of the sentence.
Now, I look at written Spanish and written Italian, and the pronunciation rules are really, really different. I listen to Spanish and Italian, and to me, it still doesn't sound like they should be mutually understandable. So can you explain that mental process, how Spanish and Italian, even though they sound so different to an English speaker, are mutually understandable to the speakers?
They're Latin languages, and actually, when the person is speaking it, when they're speaking, you can actually detect enough of the words. You know, have you ever done that test where they write words on a sheet? The words are spelled wrong. They replace numbers by and you can still read the sentence.
Yeah, there are different tests where the consonants are in the right place, but the vowels are all jumbled,
right,
or the vowels are missing, or they do different things with them.
Or
and after a few minutes, your brain starts to adapt.
That's how it is with Italian.
Hmm.
So I can listen to something in Italian and get that done.
Okay, you're listening to Think Wing Radio on KPFT 90.1 FM. I lost my mic. We're still looking for those five brave souls, those five wonderful people who will commit to $5 a month, just $5 a month, to support KPFT, your community-supported, free speech, tax-deductible 501(c)(3). C3, I always get that confused, 501c3 station that relies entirely on you. About 8% of listeners at any given time have supported KPFT. 92% of listeners at any given time listen. And that's great. We want you to listen. That's why we're on the air. But we also rely on a few of you to help us stay on the air. And KPFT is a great station. I've come to love it and admire it and appreciate it. I've been working with the station now, I guess, for about 5 years. I think I started around December of 2011, so a little over four years. And I have to say that I originally came to KPFT because I wanted to be involved in radio, and now I've got a show. And the time that I have spent here learning to appreciate the station, meeting the people, getting to know about them and their motivations and why they're here, and the incredible diversity of what we do. And, you know, some of it you may like and some of it you may not. Maybe you're a politics person. Maybe you're a music person. Maybe you like Irish music, or maybe you like just local stuff. I mean, there's all kinds of radio here. We have over 100 unique programs every week. Can you imagine that? 100 unique programs. I'm not talking about we have 100 time slots, and some of those time slots are filled by one show 5 days a week or 10 times a week. I'm talking 100 unique shows. Unbelievable. And almost all of those programs are done by volunteers. There are maybe one or two exceptions. All of those programs basically are done by volunteers. And those volunteers are doing it for their love. That's what an amateur is. An amateur is someone who does something for love. That's the root of the word. Because we were speaking about etymology, which makes it a nice fit. We do it for love, and we need you to support us out of love. So the phone number, right? Right?
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, doesn't that work? It kind of follows. We entertain you for love, and we need some of the love back. And some of the love that I need back is $5 a month from five people. 713-526. It's an unusual pitch. I'm just kind of experimenting here.
Hey, I think that's a good thing.
You know, you got to try different stuff. At the very least, I feel if we have to fundraise, we have to fundraise entertaining.
Yeah, we want folks to stay tuned.
Exactly. So, you know, if I embarrass myself a little bit, but if the people listening are having fun with that, I'm cool with that. That's entertainment, you know? So 713-526-5738, if you either want to hear me talk about etymology or politics or somehow embarrass myself without meaning to, I need you to contribute to keep me on the air. 713-526-5738. KPFT is your community-supported free speech radio. So let's see what else. There has been some talk in the media about we have entered a new geological epoch, that we have gone from the Holocene, which is post-Ice Age, to what is so far unofficially being dubbed the Anthropocene, basically the Age of Man. Now, this is not an arbitrary designation. To determine that a period has become a new epoch, which is not epic like Rambo, it's epic like E-P-O-C-H, epoch, to be precise, it actually has to show, for geological purposes, changes in the Earth. The Anthropocene, tentatively, is being dated more or less from the beginning of the atomic age, the 1940s. Because geologically speaking, you now are detecting new minerals in the soil, radioactive minerals, things like plastics and industrial waste. From a geological point of view, these things create new minerals, new soil layers, new stratifications. And we're not even talking necessarily about the fact that we are also in, I think they're calling it the third major extinction event, which of course is basically man-made. So, I mean, I think that's really kind of intriguing. We are witnessing the birth of a geological epoch. How often can human beings say that they have experienced that, for good or ill? We're also, you know, going to lose Florida underwater, but you can't have everything. I'm not getting any reaction from Egberto, which means I may be in trouble.
Not really. I've been trying to follow some results. And
how are we doing on the Iowa caucuses?
49 point something against 50 point something. And
we're talking now about Hillary and Sanders, which is Sanders. Which?
Hillary's ahead 50 point something. Bernie Sanders is less than a point behind.
And what is the, how much is, of the vote has been counted at this point?
That's what I'm trying to figure out, because I don't have it accurately, but it's sort of interesting.
Only sort of?
It's very interesting.
And how are we doing on the Republican side? Which of the crazies
Cruz,
is going to come out
crazy
here?
Crazy number C has won, or likely, or is going to win, Cruz, followed by Trump, followed by Rubio.
How tight are they?
4,000.
In percentages.
Same thing, 28, 26, I think 23.
So they're all within like 5 points.
Less than 5 points.
Which is sort of remarkable, given the disparities that we had coming in.
It is. This is an interesting race. I mean, I just looked at something that said more than likely there's going to be a suit in the Democratic race. I don't know if I'm reading that correctly or not. So we're over the air. That's what Andrea Mitchell on MSNBC apparently said, that she believes there will be a suit.
From your understanding, did she give you any clue on what that would be based?
I don't know. That's what I was trying to read when you said
okay,
that I wasn't watching.
Then don't let me bother you. Let's go back to just me talking, because I have to tell you, this is a lot harder when I can't take phone calls.
No, so you do very well at entertaining yourself, my brother.
Yes, but it's not only about entertaining me. I got to be entertaining you, and I feel so alone.
You don't need to feel alone, my brother. We are all here.
Okay. All right. 713-526-5738. Please, five good people. That's what I need. What was it in the Bible? We're just looking for like five honest men. I mean, I'm not a Bible guy, but isn't...
I was kind of wondering about that.
Isn't there a story that, like, five honest men, and surely it won't destroy, I think it's like Sodom and Gomorrah, actually, but it's like five honest men, and surely if I can only find
four, you're
not... You said
four, but for some reason I always thought the Bible always have things in sevens, but,
actually, by the end, the claim, the plea was, if I can find one honest man, surely you're not going to destroy him along with all of the evildoers and wrongdoers and sinners. Surely if I can find one, and God actually said, according to the Bible, okay, you find me one honest man and I will spare the city. Unfortunately, that did not come to pass, and the wrath of God was rained down upon Sodom and Gomorrah, and the rest, as they say, is history. But I'm not looking to save Sodom and Gomorrah here. I'm looking to save KPFT. KPFT, you know, I guess there are some people that consider some of us to be sinners. I'm an atheist. What does that make me?
A sinner.
Yeah, exactly. Although I would consider myself an agnostic atheist, because I'm willing to entertain evidence if anybody can ever come up with anything.
Yeah, I'm an agnostic. I don't consider myself an atheist, just because the level of I think on the deism scale, atheist is zero and a Christian would be 10, right?
Well, but some people actually raise atheism to a level of religious belief. They religiously believe there is no God, which is kind of ironic. I don't believe there is a God, but hey, if you can actually show me some provable evidence, I'd be willing to look at that.
Well, actually, I never say I don't believe there's a God. I think to some extent that would be conceited on my part.
Why?
It all depends on what you consider God. I look at God as that power, that energy, that whatever that created where everything came from. I don't know what that is, so I acknowledge my ignorance, but at the same token, I don't try to give preeminence to man or anything like that, because I don't know.
You know, when I was kind of, because I mean, this is sort of at a point in my life where I've thought through a lot of this stuff and argued back and forth. I once came up with the notion of God as a real estate developer. Now think about this. What does a real estate developer do? He obtains a property. He lays out the infrastructure. He plats out the lots, builds the houses, collects the money, finishes his warranty work, and leaves. And then you're completely on your own. Now, that's sort of a way of saying what you just said, that, you know, maybe there's a God who you look at as simply having created everything, but is not necessarily intimately involved in the life of every living thing in the world or in the universe. God is a real estate developer, as opposed to God as a property manager. that, you know, you're constantly hearing from tenants, the plumbing doesn't work, I have a light switch that needs to be fixed, the door sticks, okay, God, come on over, will you fix this for me, please? That would be God, the property manager. So, and then you have basically the abandoned property. I mean, it's just there, no houses, no infrastructure, you got to do everything yourself. Or nature takes its course and the grass grows and the vermin take over and you get your possums and your mice and all this stuff. So deep thought. We're doing deep thought here.
Deep thinking.
This is why I say that, you know, you do politics done right. Now, I don't think I could get further away from politics unless you consider discussion of religion to be inherently political, which I do not. I only consider it to be philosophical, intellectual, theological, obviously, existential, a lot of good ill words. Anyway, you see, this is what I'm devolving to when I don't get phone calls. It's really kind of scary.
Well, so far, it looks like we're taking two pledges for you. So,
are we? Oh, bless you, folks, even though I'm atheist. But bless you from my heart, you know, and if there's a God, may he bless you or she bless you as well. 713-526-5738. I guess now maybe I'm looking for three people to pledge. I mean, I don't know what the nature of the pledges are, but if I have two pledges coming in, let's just take the two off the table. So now I'm looking for three people who are willing to pledge $5 a month to KPFT. Just $5 a frappuccino, a couple of gallons of gas, a pound of cheese. I mean, that's what we're talking about here. $5 a month to support your volunteer, free speech, community-based radio station. The only one of its kind in the metropolitan area, and very few of its kind in the country. 713-526-5738. You can also go to kpft.org, kpft.org, and you can pledge there, and hopefully you will pledge for my show, Think Wing Radio, and help support my show as well as the station. I mean, it all goes into the same pot, but one of the ways that we know that a program is desired by you folks out there is pledges coming in for that program. It all goes into the same pot, but we know that the straw that brought it into the pot is whatever show you might indicate. 713-526-5738. I actually brought my computer here to try to keep track of the caucuses, but it keeps going to a log-on screen, which is really a pain in the butt, because while I'm talking, I don't want to constantly have to be logging on. So I don't think this is going to work. I need my engineer. By the way, your mic is not on.
Yes, my mic is on.
I need my engineer to be helping me out with this because obviously my computer for this purpose is useless.
Well, it's not to your computer. It's a network here.
No, it's my computer constantly going into screensaver mode to log back on.
Well, no, the problem here, I keep getting off the internet, so I'm using my bandwidth now to check out what they are saying on MSNBC on my TV.
And what are they saying?
Well, right now, Cruz is talking. Not Cruz, Rubio is talking. I guess he's taking the type of victory that Clinton took when he didn't win Iowa but became the comeback kid.
So I didn't win, but I did much better than expected.
Right, so I'm the comeback kid.
Yeah, well, okay. I think that we're in trouble when a guy like John Kasich is considered the moderate.
Exactly.
One of the things that I've been thinking of discussing, and I haven't had time on the other shows because, you know, I have a lot of stuff usually that I have to talk about, but phone calls.
I thought they kept doing it forever.
Huh? What? Huh?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I'm sorry. I didn't know that I turned the mic
you
on.
You turned on the mic. That means we have two mics turned on.
And you have the sound turned up out here.
We want to hear from
you. I might as well speak.
You might as well, since you are and you have.
Yeah, we're processing a host of donations.
A host?
Yes.
How many is in a host?
That's wonderful.
Do I want to know how many a host is at KPFT?
We have, yeah. And And on top of that, you've got two new donors.
Oh, my Lord.
That's wonderful.
That is wonderful.
I want to thank Claudel.
Thank you, Claudel.
For making an installment pledge.
Wonderful. Thank you.
For an annual donation. And I would imagine that's in the form of a sustaining donation. Which
yes,
the
by
station
definition.
Needs those.
We need to be able to plan, and that helps
sure,
a lot.
It's like insurance.
Yep.
And who is this? Cara?
Yeah, Cara.
Cara mia, my.
Yes, let's not make fun of our donors, okay?
I'm not. Nobody let's not, is doing I'm that. Celebrating let's, a beautiful name.
Okay, we're celebrating. Okay.
Hey. You need to go eat your spinach.
Yeah. Okay.
And we got, she is, that's a woman? Yes.
Yeah,
that's our other new donor.
Great. Thank
and
you,
she
Cara.
She made a very generous donation. First-time listener.
Much
her first-time donor. And, I don't know how long she's been listening to you, but...
I guess long enough, which is probably how a lot of people feel right now.
And Adam has been a sustaining member for a period of time. I don't know exactly how long, but he said that the only reason his donation ceased was that his credit card apparently reached its expiration date.
Ah, happens all
so
the time.
So he made a call. And he made a very generous donation to KPFT.
And I'm sorry, what was his name again?
Adam.
Adam. Thank you so much, Adam. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Adam.
Truly.
Thank you, Cara. And thank you, Claudel, very much for making a donation to Think Wing tonight and KPFT Radio. And the number to call. We could use a few more donations, and there's time yet in this program, 20 minutes roughly, at 713-526-5738.
Thank you so much, Bob. I
Thank
appreciate
you.
That.
Welcome.
Okay, so now I need two righteous people, is I think how they termed it in the St. James Bible. Two righteous people, $5 a month, sustaining members.
I want to add a corollary to that.
Sure.
Doesn't need to be.
They don't have to be righteous?
Doesn't have to be righteous. Okay.
Sinners are welcome.
In fact,
invited.
Yes, sinners are invited.
Okay. So we're not picky, in other words, is what Egberto is saying. Whether you're a righteous person or a sinner, we welcome your support. 7-1, and maybe we'll get the righteous and the sinners to communicate and understand each other's motivations better. That's really what KPFT is all about. It's about, you know, you're a liberal, you're a conservative. You're a way left-wing liberal, you're a way right-wing conservative.
Well, that is one of the good things with your show, and also, to some extent, my show and another, and the Web Value shows. We kind of lend ourselves to vote the in as much as we're mostly liberal, we lend ourselves to vote liberals and conservatives.
I love talking to conservatives.
Absolutely.
I mean, I like talking to the choir. I like people who sort of agree with me and can sort of expand on some of my thoughts and ideas and comments. But I also enjoy talking to conservatives. I was visiting my mom in Florida between shows, and we were waiting our turn at an Italian restaurant because we really had not expected to go. We didn't make a reservation. We waited out there like an hour and a quarter. But it was wonderful. We ended up talking to a whole bunch of the people that were waiting, and some of them were liberals, and some of them were conservatives, and it was great fun. I had I think I had almost more fun waiting to eat than I had eating, and that's in spite of the fact that the food there is really good. Maybe I should talk to them next time I visit my mom. I go down there about every 6 months. Maybe I should ask them if they would be willing to contribute and respond in return for like some mention of which wonderful Italian restaurant that was. Anyway, 713-526-5738.
Do you know that the difference between Donald Trump and Marco Rubio and Marco Rubio?
You're talking about
the
election results.
Yes. In fact, it could. I don't know if the counts are all in. 99% in, it says. But, man, it sure looks like Rubio almost overtook Donald Trump.
Do you have numbers, actual numbers?
No, I don't. Just percentages, 28, 24, 23.
Okay, well, a percent.
I don't know what it means. I would be guessing.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's delegate equivalencies, what it is, you know.
Well, of course, each party does their own thing.
The Republican Party does it by actually, if I recall from MSNBC earlier today, the Republican Party actually count people. The Democratic,
but then they apportion delegates.
Right.
But the way it worked out in 2012 was the people that showed up to volunteer to be delegates,
right,
were Rand Paul people.
Exactly. So he won. No, well.
Well, he sort of won because right. The way these things work, if you go to the national convention, the first ballot, you are committed to a candidate. You
right.
are committed to vote. After that, anything can happen. And well, historically, in American history, sometimes the person who came out with the presidential nomination wasn't even running at the time.
Right.
It happens.
You have to remember also that when President Obama won, then-Senator Obama won Texas, or rather, Hillary won the popular vote in Texas, he won the delegate count in Texas.
Right, the caucus.
The caucus.
So, and also what happened in the 2008 convention, as they were coming to the convention, because they have these superdelegates, there was a lot of debate as to whether the superdelegates might tip the balance over to Hillary. And it was really just kind of negotiating at the last minute where, because Obama had more of the popular vote delegates, Hillary would have had to win using more of the superdelegates, and that would have created a legitimacy issue. So finally it was decided that the superdelegates, with Hillary's permission, because there was a loyalty issue involved, would go over to Obama, so there was not an open or brokered convention, and it was a first ballot nomination. The Republicans are scared to death that they're going to end up with a brokered convention.
Which it seems more likely than not after today's results, but I think I think
if you have three ways,
yeah,
even if there is one person who has a plurality,
it's
that's
a brokered,
not enough.
It's a brokered convention.
Then after the first ballot, it becomes a brokered
right.
convention.
You have some numbers for us, right, Robert?
Yeah. What happens if there's a tie?
There's really not a tie. There are 44 delegates, so it is a tie. I mean, they can leave Iowa with a tie. But again,
well,
somebody's going to. The Democrats don't release person votes, people votes.
Until after the first ballot.
No, they don't release the amount. They don't release the people. In other words, when you leave the room, it's not known how many people actually voted for one candidate or the other.
No.
They just know what the delegate equivalences are when they leave.
Okay.
But the delegates are committed on the first ballot to vote the way they are instructed.
What I'm looking at is there's 89%, 88% reporting.
Bernie Sanders actually
has one more delegate than Hillary, 20. And he is 0.5% behind her. They're both at 49.
Yeah, I think in a caucus situation, I can see how that could happen.
On the Republican side, 89% reporting. They're calling Cruz the winner at 27.7, and Trump still at 24.4, with Rubio at 23.
This is going to be like the first time Trump has lost anything this publicly. It'll be very interesting to
and
see his
response.
I want
response. To see his reaction
yeah,
tomorrow.
That's
I really
exactly.
want to see his reaction tomorrow.
Are we?
Because he, all the polls, this, well, do you guys realize, and Robert, you too, what this does for the polls on the Republican side? Remember, the last poll had Trump up by over 8 percentage points.
At one point, it was like 20 points.
Yes. This is interesting.
So the margin of error really is a margin of error.
No, they blew through the error.
Our volunteer would like to say something.
Surely.
Jerry.
Go ahead, Jerry.
Go ahead, Jerry.
Yeah, I think you're going to have to call Cruz Mr. February Surprise.
Well, okay, I'm speechless.
Well, it's February the 1st.
Yeah, I guess. Okay, 713-526-5738 is the number to call if you want to help support KPFT. My suggestion is $5 a month to be an ongoing supporter of KPFT. $5 a month, it's a Frappuccino, it's a couple of gallons of gas, it's a pound of cheese, it's pocket change for most folks.
I'm
$5
glad you
a
didn't
month.
Say that S word when you mentioned Frappuccino. You know,
do I even want to know what the S word would be?
No, you don't.
Okay.
Spring's coming, and KPFT has some really lovely T-shirts. This Peace T-shirt, and I really like the KPFT News T-shirt. We've got them in navy, some nice dark colors for men, and there's some ladies' designed versions of the T-shirts.
What are the contribution levels for that?
And, well, one is 90. You might think that's a lot of money, you know, but basically you're donating to the station.
Right.
And the retro T-shirt that was rolled out, I think, last fall, they're asking 120 for. Or you could get yourself a mug. I've donated and asked for mugs several times over the years. I've got one that looks like an ear. The handle is actually an ear. It's really nice, yeah.
Well, you know, some people tug on their ear when I'm thinking, so you can tug on your ear while you're having coffee.
Yep.
Okay, so
526-5738.
713-526-KPFT. We are in the last about 7.5 or 8 minutes of the show. Can I ask if we have any kind of a total? I'm just curious.
Oh, well, let me do that real quick.
Okay. 713-526-5738. Hopefully I've been entertaining you while I've been begging for money. And my goal is to find a couple more folks that'll give us $5 a month as an ongoing support for the station. Egberto, what is the term that they use? I can never remember the term. Supporting members? Is that what they call them?
I am not sure, but I mean, you're talking about the members that I do on a monthly basis.
The monthly basis.
Yeah, sustaining.
Sustaining,
yes.
Thank you. Supporting, sustaining, I guess it's all the same. So $5 a month is sustaining members. That also would give you the right to vote at meetings if you wanted to participate and attend board meetings at that contribution level. You would be able to actually vote at the meetings. $5 a month, 713-526-5738. Now, I haven't used this pitch yet this hour, but if you are driving in your car listening to the radio, which is probably how 90% of radio listeners listen, if you're driving in your car and you've been hearing me rattle on about this, that, and the other, and also, by the way, asking for some money, and you've thought about contributing, but, you know, you're driving at 60 miles an hour, you don't want to fumble with your wallet, your credit card, you don't have to do that. You can simply maybe voice dial. I mean, I don't want you to do anything dangerous now, but you can voice dial or dial KPFT at 713-526-5738 and just tell us who you are and how much you would like to contribute and how we can contact you, mailing address, phone number, email, and we will then send you a statement, a reminder. Or you can call us back later, or we can call you back later. We're really very flexible about this stuff. So you can make your pledge without having to give us like a credit card right now. That's not mandatory. The only thing that's sort of mandatory is that if you make a pledge is a promise, and we'll just hope that you will keep your pledge. 713-526-5738 if you're tooling around town. If you're stopped at a light, or you can voice dial through Siri or something like that, or if you can pull over to the side of the road, we would be just thrilled to hear from you and get some support from you for KPFT, tax deductible. I sometimes jokingly like to say that if you itemize your taxes, the more you contribute to KPFT, the more you will save on your taxes. Don't think about that too deeply, but that's sort of true, right? So the more you contribute, the more you save. 713-526-KPFT, 713-526-5738. One of the things that I follow a lot of things. One of the things that I follow is automotive technology, not on a very, very deep engineering level, but just sort of on a popular layperson's interest level. And in the debate between electric cars and hybrid cars, at this point in time, I think I'm a hybrid car person. If the economics could work, or if you have the money where it's more about how you feel about the environment, I think a hybrid car is the way to go because the range is not limited by the battery. But you can run the engine, and apparently they're doing a lot of different researches and technologies on the engines so that they are more efficient than a typical automobile engine. They generate much more energy out of a gallon of gasoline because it's converted not as you accelerate and decelerate and you pump the gas to get away from a stoplight, it runs at a more efficient speed to charge batteries. So I think that hybrids are really a fabulous technology, and if they get to a point where they are truly competitive with regular automobiles, whether that's by tax breaks or government subsidies or technological improvements or economies of scale or whatever the particular means of that happening is, I think it's very, very exciting. They now are going to have a hybrid minivan. Chrysler is coming out with the Pacifica, and it comes in a hybrid version. They put the batteries where the stow-and-go seats would go. So you don't have the stow-and-go seats, but you do have the battery, and I think that on a battery charge it gets like 90 miles per gallon, and then the hybrid engine kicks in. Anyway, 713-526-5738. Egberto, you want to help me out a little here?
Right now, it's 50-50 in the Hillary Clinton. And sorry for the background noise, folks, but I'm trying to do
something. I'm looking at
it. I hear your phone ringing. So
yeah, ringing is good. Thank you for the ringing phone.
Yes, 50.
Yes, thank you. 713-526-5738.
Do you have some numbers for us, Robert?
I'm looking at 21 delegates for Bernie Sanders and 19 holding for Clinton. And there's 0.2% between them at 89% reporting.
Wow.
Wow. Now, what about the numbers for Mike's show? Did we make our quota for the day?
For who?
For Mike Honig's show. I know we're
the other side. They're cast. They're in stone. They're 89%, but they've gone home. They don't care.
Bob, I think what we're looking for is a dollar.
Oh, the numbers.
Total.
Oh, the totals.
That. Yeah,
yeah,
we have our own race that we're running.
I don't know.
Okay.
You know?
You're great, Robert. Don't listen
420.
To
me. 420. We've got 420.
Wonderful.
So that kind of makes up for the undrive for you, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah.
And man, I appreciate all of you. Do we have any new contributors I need to thank that we haven't already thanked?
Jerry's taking another pledge, and I'd be happy to take one. We've got 3 or 4 minutes left. 713-526-5738.
That is so great. You know, I appreciate it.
It'd be wonderful to get another new donor.
You know, that would be wonderful, but I'm already very, very excited. I appreciate
Mike,
all you guys out there.
That is excellent. I want to thank you guys on behalf of Mike's listeners. I mean, that is wonderful to bring that in, bring it home.
Almost brings tears to my eyes, man.
To bring it home for Mike. He's been working at this a very long time. Thank you for bringing that in.
And, you know, the loyalty. And I want to emphasize, I obviously cannot express how grateful I am to the people that actually contribute. But, you know, the listeners, not every listener can contribute every time. Not every listener can contribute. And that's okay. You know, we accept the graciousness of those who are in a position to help support the station. And I don't want folks who can't or don't feel they can. I don't want them to feel guilty. I don't want them to feel alienated. But, man, I do appreciate the folks that do contribute. 713-526-5738. Are we at the end of the show now? Okay. You see, music. I wait for music. It's all on you. All right. Quote for the day. This is from Justice Stephen Breyer in his dissent in McCutcheon versus FEC. Quote, "Where enough money calls the tune, the general public will not be heard." Thanks for listening. Think Wing Radio. Be back next week, Monday, 9 to 10. Everybody have a great week, and thank you so much.
This is KPFT General Manager Dwayne Bradley asking you to call in a pledge of support to this program. KPFT is one of only 5 Pacifica radio stations on the entire planet, and we in and around Houston are indeed blessed to have one of these rare jewels on our radio dial. Please call in a pledge of support for independent, community-based, non-commercial, listener-sponsored KPFT. The phone number is 713-526-5738. 713-526-KPFT. 90% of all the funds that power this independent voice come directly from people like you, who find value in supporting the kind of radio they truly care about. Radio that entertains and enlightens. Radio that is fearless, brave, and thoughtful. Radio for peace. If you appreciate the wide range of music, news, information, and cultural programs that KPFT brings to the air, please support that now with a call to 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT. If you are listening through our web stream, you can safely and securely make your pledge online from anywhere on planet Earth.